Welcome. I am reading today from the News Gazette of November 18, 2024, and I'm Scout Madison. The first article is by David Hinton, and his name, he's talking about name-dropping, Windows of Opportunity, creating a winter wonderland in Douglas County on glass. Libby Nethery may have just the cure for the Scrooges and Grinches out there. There's something about the winter Christmas storefront window scenes she paints that can draw one into the holiday mood. Nethery, who works out of her Libby Joe Art Studio in downtown Villa Grove, is now at a good point with her business. She has a waiting list of customers for her art creations. Villa Grove Mayor Cassandra Eversole Gunter is a fan. She lauds Nethery's upbeat, energetic demeanor and support of all community events. "Very talented, Eversole," Gunter said. "She is so amazing. She has done this for the past few years downtown and helped us with the decorative boxes around our planters." The Dellen Weldon High School grad, graduating class of 9 students, brings windows to life with scenes of winter and Christmas. Sometimes the work happens at night when her time and schedule necessitate. Having painted 8 windows in the downtown Villa Grove area, she has a contract with Tuscola Tourism Board to paint the windows on 20 businesses in that city's downtown for the Winter Window Walk, which will be held the first week of December. Nethery has also done artwork in Champaign, Urbana. It all started when Nethery painted her own downtown Villa Grove storefront for advertising 3 years ago. Other business owners noticed, and when she approached them about doing their business fronts, they agreed. The word soon got out. "It's really grown," Nethery said. "I am to a point where I'm having to postpone the work, telling people I'm a couple of months out." The art does draw a lot of attention when they have something cool on the outside. Nethery made the leap to full-time art studio operator last week after previously holding a corporate position and doing studio work part-time. "It was kind of scary making that move to full-time with her studio," Nethery said. "Any business owner can say making that leap is kind of hard. I haven't regretted a day of it. There's a different kind of stress that comes from running your own business. The value far outweighs the stress. The enjoyment and fulfillment for my family has been worth it." Initially, Nether was doing a number of in-person events like paint parties and lessons. She still does that work, but the window art has made her more well-known. Nethery is the sole employee of the shop, unless you count my 5-year-old, Duncan, she said with a laugh. The jury is still out whether Duncan will be artistic like Mom. "He is very creative with, like, Legos," she said. "He likes math and numbers a lot." Family is what brought Nethery to Villa Grove, which she said has been a wonderful community to us. They've been very supportive. Nethery originally went to school to be an art teacher and taught junior high briefly. She attended Parkland College, the University of Illinois, and Eastern Illinois University. She still serves as a substitute teacher. After getting out of education full-time, she did jewelry design and landscape work as well as marketing. "There's an art to all of that," Nethery said. When designing storefront art, she relies on the business owner's input on what they would like. "It's their business, and I think it's important what they'd like to see," she said. "Some business owners have no preference and encourage Nethery to work her magic based on what she feels will look good." Villa Grove attorney Hera Wintz, who has an office cat, asked if I can include a cat in the design. "No problem. Instead of reindeer, the cats are pulling the sleigh. On average, it takes a little longer to paint a storefront window in late fall and winter because it takes longer for the white underpainting to dry. And when it dries, she goes over it with the color scenery. When there are a number of windows to be painted, she might underpaint 5 windows and then come back to the first to begin painting the scene. Other times of the year are busy for Nethery as well. I have some window requests in the spring, but it's not as common, she said. In the winter months, I plan a lot of window murals on walls instead of spaces and businesses, and I do private lessons and paint parties. She also has done a number of private indoor murals. Villa Grove will hold its tree lighting ceremony of the 60-foot-tall tree of the north end of Main Street at Warp 4 p.m., the Saturday after Thanksgiving, the official start of the Christmas season in the Douglas County community. There will be horse and carriage rides available and ice rink, plus carolers and the arrival of Santa Claus. Visitors can also view the downtown window art created by Nethery. The fundraiser raises money for the restoration of the Burwell Building, a 41-year-old structure in Gibson City's downtown that once held the town's opera house. This week's jackpot rose to $13,916. Schneider was not on the scene when the drawing was made at Marks on First, so she won half the payout amount. A new board will be started next week with a starting jackpot of $10,000. Parkland alum wins the Prentke Award. Shannon Voss, an alum of Parkland College, recently received the 2025 Prentke AAC Distinguished Lecture Award presented by the Assistive Technology Industry Association. He will provide the 28th annual lecture at the 2025 ATIA conference on January 31st in Orlando, Florida. His honor includes a $2,000 award, a travel stipend of up to $3,000, and up to 3 complimentary conference registrations valued at nearly $600 each. Voss, who studied sociology at Parkland College, told his story in May as a presenter at the college's 2024 commencement exercises. While a third-year business administration major at the University of Illinois, he contracted life-threatening illnesses that required him to relearn the necessary movements for everyday life. Not long afterward, he lost his mother to illness. Despite these crushing blows, Voss worked with the team at Choral Therapy to regain mobility and with the staff at Parkland College to obtain his degree. The Schaumburg-based ATIA is a global education and research organization promoting the manufacture, sale, and provision of equipment, products, and systems that enable persons with disabilities to learn, work, and live better daily. Snodgrass was elected into Honor Society. Benjamin Snodgrass of Tolono was recently elected to membership into the Honor Society of Phi Kappa Phi, the nation's oldest and most selective all-discipline collegiate honor society at Indiana State University. Snodgrass is among about 20,000 students, faculty, professional staff, and alumni to be initiated into Phi Kappa Phi each year. Membership is by invitation only and requires nomination and approval by a chapter. Only the top 10% of seniors and 7.5% of juniors are eligible for membership. Area residents become master naturalists. 20 area residents now bear the rank of master naturalists. The Champaign, Vermilion, and Iroquois County residents and one Indiana resident who volunteers in Vermilion County graduated in a ceremony at the Champaign County Extension Office. The ceremony celebrated the group completing the classroom portion of the Master Naturalist training. The Champaign County graduates Shoshana Bauer, Chris Berti, Camille Bourne, Kathleen Brinkman, Kate Corder, Stephen Dolan, Tegan Flowers, Rachel Heaton, Ender Howard, John Noblet, Minette Lane Worthy, Katie Metcalf, Philip Nyman, Timothy Prescott, Ray Leonberger, and Austin Smith. Vermilion County graduates, John McNally, Don Thomas. Iroquois County graduate, Tom Santenfort. Also graduating was Indiana resident Theodore Commons, who volunteers in Vermilion City. In the top of the morning column, something to get you going today, courtesy staff writer Joey Wright writes, roughly 300 high school athletes dropped by the News Gazette's newsroom Sunday afternoon for our annual Faces of Winter photo shoot. Many of these faces were familiar with Leroy's football team, still in the hunt for Class 1A state title quarterback Bo Zelaznik, was on hand to represent the Panthers wrestling team. Basketball standouts Chris Bush with Champaign Central and Casey Sisk with Arcola stopped by too. But Mount Zion's boys and girls basketball basketball teams were a new addition to our tri-yearly event. Central Illinois Multimedia Group acquired 5 Decatur-based radio stations in May. "There's nice people here," Mount Zion basketball player J.C. Anderson said, "and we definitely had a fun time seeing all the other schools and being here with other sports from our school." Preps coordinator Zach Pyatt chopped it up with a variety of athletes that you'll hear from in the next coming weeks, and Robin Schultz's portraits will be published online and print in the months to come, along with short answers to sports editor Matt Daniels' questions. "Everyone here is awesome," Zelznick said. "They treat you extremely well, so I think we've had nothing but good times here. It's cool to get recognition for you and your teammates, so it's been a good experience." In Champaign County Crime Stoppers news, police are seeking suspects in theft of shoes. Champaign County Crime Stoppers is asking for the public's help identifying a suspect who stole over $1,200 worth of shoes. On October 21st at around 2:21 p.m., a male suspect entered Dick's warehouse and went to the footwear department. He changed out his own shoes with shoes from the store and also filled his backpack with shoes. Apparently, a female accomplice was already in the store and had chosen shoes for him to take. The man left the store, emptied his backpack into a vehicle, and came back for more shoes. All told, the stolen shoes were valued at over $1,200. The suspects were captured on video. They appeared to be a black male and female between the ages of 20 and 30. The man was wearing a white hat, white polo shirt, and black pants. The woman had long braided hair and was wearing a red long-sleeved shirt and dark pants. If you have any information regarding this or any other crime in Champaign County, please contact Crime Stoppers at 217-373-TIPS or 373tips.com or via the P3 Tips mobile app. Tipsters are always 100% anonymous when contacting Crime Stoppers and receive a code number to check on rewards. All tips submitted to Crime Stoppers are electronically stripped of any personally identifying information and processed by a third-party answering service. Crime Stoppers will pay rewards of $5,000 for tips that lead to an arrest in any Champaign County homicide, $2,500 for tips leading to an arrest in any felony involving a gun in Champaign County, and up to $1,000 for tips leading to arrests in other crimes. In the column, 5 points intersection. Man shot following Saturday road rage incident in Urbana by Jeff D'Alessio. A man is in the ICU unit of an Urbana hospital after being shot following a road rage incident Saturday afternoon, police said. Around 4:30 p.m., Urbana police were called to the intersection of Busey Avenue and Park Street, where they learned of an incident that took place near Five Points. According to police, a vehicle driven by a female with a male passenger engaged in a verbal altercation at an intersection with a male driving by himself. After the solo driver drove past the other car, the duo followed him. The man drove into Carl Foundation Hospital's emergency department parking lot, then got into park to create distance between him and the following vehicle. Police said. The pursuit ended on Park, where both people in the double-occupied vehicle got out, the woman armed with a baseball bat. The solo driver indicated that the male passenger had his hand underneath his shirt and believed that he was armed with a weapon as he approached the car. The driver, a concealed carry permit holder, drew a legally concealed firearm and fired several rounds, striking the male passenger, police said. The driver, who fired the shots, then called 911. The male passenger, who'd been shot, underwent surgery at a local hospital and is in intensive care, police said. No arrests have been made. The investigation is ongoing, police said. Urbana police ask that anyone with more information call 217-384-2320. Arrangements can be made for information to be shared privately. Anyone wishing to remain anonymous may also submit tips to Crime Stoppers by phone at 217-373-8477. Online, they can go to 373tips.com or the P3 Tips mobile app. Wanted in Champaign County. Name Marcus J. Betts, age 26, last known address 1103 West Hill Street, Urbana. Description, black male, 5 feet 9 inches, 140 pounds, black hair, brown eyes. Charges, felon possession and use of a firearm. Call Champaign County Crime Stoppers if you have any tips at 217-373-8477 or online 373tips.com or the P3 Tips mobile app. Update on the Russia-Ukraine war. Russia launches fiercest missile drone attacks at Ukraine's infrastructure by Samia Kulab and Joanna Kozlowska in Kyiv. A Russian strike on a 9-story building in the city of Sumy in northern Ukraine killed 8 people and wounded dozens, an official said Sunday, as Russia launched a massive drone and missile attack described by officials as the largest in recent months. Among the 8 killed in Sumy, 24 miles from the border with Russia, were 2 children, said Ukraine's Minister of Internal Affairs, Ihor Klimenko. More than 400 people were evacuated from the building. The rescuers were checking every apartment, looking for people who might be still in the damaged buildings. Every life destroyed by Russia is a big tragedy, said Klimenko. The drone and missile attack, which targeted Ukraine's energy infrastructure, came as fears are mounting about Moscow's intentions to devastate Ukraine's power generation capacity ahead of the winter. Also Sunday, President Joe Biden authorized for the first time the use of U.S.-supplied long-range missiles by Ukraine to strike inside Russia after extensive lobbying for Ukraine officials. The weapons are likely to be used in North Korea's decision to send thousands of troops to support Russia in the Kursk region, where Ukraine mounted a military incursion over the summer. It is the second time the U.S. has permitted the use of Western weapons inside Russian territory, within limits after permitting the use of HIMARS systems, a shorter-range weapon to stem Russia's advance in Kharkiv region in May. The first reaction from Ukraine to the long-awaited decision from the USA was notably restrained. Today, much is being said in the media about us receiving permission for the relevant actions. But strikes are not made with words. Such things are not announced. The missiles will speak for themselves, said Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky in his nightly video address. Earlier, Zelensky said that Russia had launched a total of 120 missiles and 90 drones in a large-scale attack across Ukraine. Various types of drones were deployed, he said, including Iranian-made Shaheds, as well as cruise ballistic and aircraft-launched ballistic missiles. Ukrainian defenses shot down 144 out of a total of 210 air targets, Ukraine's Air Force reported later on Sunday. The enemy's target was our energy infrastructure throughout Ukraine. Unfortunately, there is damage to objects from hits and falling debris. In Malokhiv, as a result of a drone attack, 2 people were killed and 6 others were injured, including 2 children, Zelensky said. 2 more people were killed in the Odessa region, where the attack damaged energy infrastructure and disrupted power and water supplies, said local Governor Ola Kuyper. Both victims were employees of Ukraine's state-owned power grid operator, Ukrnegro, the company said hours later. The combined drone and missile attack was the most powerful in 3 months, according to the head of Kyiv's city military administrative, Serhiy Popko. One person was injured after the roof of a 5-story residential building caught fire in Kyiv's historical center, according to Popko. A thermal power plant operated by private energy company DTEK, DTEK, was seriously damaged, the company said. Further news on the Mideast conflict. Israeli strike in Beirut kills Hezbollah's spokesman. Strikes in Gaza kills at least 30. In Beirut, a rare Israeli strike in central Beirut killed the Hezbollah militant group's chief spokesman on Sunday, while an Israeli strike in northern Gaza's Beit Lahia killed at least 30 people, a hospital director there told the Associated Press. Mohammed Afif Nabulusi was killed in a strike on the Arab Socialist Ba'ath Party's office in Beirut. Hezbollah confirmed in a statement he had been especially visible after an all-out war erupted between Israel and Hezbollah in September. Israel's military, in a statement, said he wielded significant influence over Hezbollah's military operations and glorified and incited attacks on Israel. It was the latest targeted killing of a senior Hezbollah official. On Sunday night, another strike in central Beirut hit a computer shop, killing two people and wounding 22. Lebanon's health ministry said there was no immediate comment from Israel's military. The strike happened as Lebanese officials considered a United States-led ceasefire proposal. This confirms the crimes of the Israeli enemy and that it wants to negotiate under fire and is expanding and targeting safe and safer areas, said a Lebanese member of the parliament, Faisal al-Saveg. The CDC reports that dozens were sickened, one dead, after eating carrots with E. coli in New York. An outbreak of E. coli has infected dozens of people who ate bagged organic carrots, and one person died from the infection. Another 39 people were infected, and 15 were hospitalized in 18 states after eating organic whole and baby carrots sold by Grimway Farms, the Federal Centers for Disease Control and Prevention said Sunday. Grimway Farms, based in Bakersfield, California, has recalled the carrots, which included whole and baby organic carrots, sold in bags under multiple brand names, including 365, Cal Organic, Nature's Promise, O Organics, Trader Joe's, and Wegmans. Locally, in Urbana, this is written by Jeff D'Alessio, Urbana Middle School will soon be in the market for a new principal. In what he called an incredibly difficult decision, third-year leader Derek Cooper announced on a Sunday afternoon letter to families that 2024-2025 will be his last school year at UMS principal. The decision was not easy, as being part of this wonderful school community has been one of the greatest joys of my career, wrote Cooper, who succeeded Joe Weimelt as a principal in 2022. Over the years, I have had the privilege of working with talented teachers, dedicated staff, and supportive families, all of whom are working toward the goal of helping our students succeed. As I transition to the next chapter of my professional journey, please know that UMS will always hold a special place in my heart, added Cooper, who made the move to Urbana after 13 years in Champaign schools. I remain confident that the incredible team at our school will continue to nurture and guide your children toward success. Cooper said he'll stay at UMS through June and is committed to ensuring a smooth transition and will work closely with the district and school leadership team to prepare for the future. Cooper, a former Champaign Central assistant principal, is one of a slew of administrators Urbana's District 116 has hired away from Unit 4 in recent years, a list that also includes high school principal Jesse Guzman, with Lille Elementary Principal Craig Keir, Superintendent Jennifer Ivory Tatum, Assistant Superintendent Angie Franklin, HR Director Peter Forch, Director of Curriculum, and Student Learning Jessica Bradford and Special Education Administrator Jacqueline Douglas. In the Urbana police report, man is hospitalized after alleged DUI-related crash by Jim Rosso. A Champaign man ticketed for allegedly driving under the influence remains hospitalized after causing a two-vehicle accident Saturday morning. According to police, William Daniel Melendez Scott, 21, was driving a Chevrolet truck erratically and at a high speed northbound on Cunningham Avenue when he collided with a Ford Explorer, which was turning east onto Perkins Road. Melendez Scott was ejected when his truck hit a light pole. Both drivers were taken to the hospital after the incident shortly after 8 a.m. Melendez Scott was listed in critical but stable condition. The other driver was released from hospital care. Melendez Scott was issued a citation for DUI and disobeying a traffic control signal. Police are asking for assistance from businesses nearby that may have video footage of the crash. The investigation is ongoing. Urbana Police ask that anyone who has additional information please call 217-384-2320. Arrangements can be made for information to be shared privately. Anyone wishing to remain anonymous may also submit tips to Crime Stoppers by phone at 217-373-8477, online at 373tips.com, or by the P3 Tips mobile app. In an alleged domestic altercation, the Champaign woman was arrested after stabbing death Saturday evening. Story by Luke Taylor. Champaign police are investigating a death following a domestic altercation in which a woman stabbed a man in the chest. Police were dispatched at 5:17 p.m. Saturday to the 2000 block of Cynthia Drive for a domestic disturbance. They found a 71-year-old Champaign man in his home with a stab wound. Officers and Champaign Fire Department personnel began administering life-saving measures but were unable to revive him. He was later pronounced dead at the scene. Police say the initial investigation indicated that the man was involved in a domestic altercation with DeWandi Carter, 67, of Champaign, who stabbed him in the chest. She was arrested pending charges. Officers remained on scene for several hours to investigate and canvass the surrounding area for witnesses and video footage. The investigation is ongoing despite the arrest. Champaign police ask that anyone who has additional information please call 217-351-1545. Arrangements can be made for information to be shared privately. Anyone wishing to remain anonymous may also submit tips to Crime Stoppers by phone at 217-373-8477 or online at 373tips.com or the P3 Tips mobile app. Future updates may be provided as they become available. Box of Joy Project is celebrated. Catholic Daughters of the Americas Court, Champaign County number 1070, sponsored a Box of Joy Project. They distributed boxes to their members and members of Holy Cross Church in Champaign. They hosted a fall party on November 3rd with donuts and apple cider as they collected 59 filled boxes and enough monetary donations for shipping. The boxes of Christmas gifts will be sent to children in countries such as Guatemala and the Dominican Republic. Story by Dave Hinton. All right, in the Dear Carolyn column. Late mother's best friend is like a second mom till she vanished. My mother died when I was 17, and her best friend Jess initially offered me a lot of support. I spent my childhood in Jess's home playing with her daughter Molly, and Jess felt like a second mom to me. She had also been my mother's rock, often taking her to medical appointments and keeping her company at the end. However, once my dad started dating again about a year after my mom died, Jess ghosted me. She made excuses not to see me. I moved away for college and years went by. I invited Jess to my wedding, but she didn't come. I was hurt, but tried to make peace with the distance. Recently, Molly reached out and asked if I would have lunch with her and Jess. I agreed hesitantly. Jess didn't apologize, but said multiple times that the wonderful thing about old friends is that you can be out of touch for years and feel like nothing has changed. At one point, she started to cry and said she hoped I'd understand how painful it was for her to lose my mom. The whole experience felt like reopening an old wound, as I had to dwell on my own grief as a teenager. Then, a week later, Molly called to tell me her dad Jess's husband had died unexpectedly. Since then, Jess and her family have been asking me to come over and visit Molly and Jess, keep asking for my advice about the grieving process and for help with the funeral arrangements. I don't want to abandon them like they abandoned me, but also they seem to be ignoring the fact that we haven't been in touch for over a decade. Should I do the kind thing and offer them support, tell them how I feel, and set my boundary explicitly? Or three, beg off and keep my distance without saying anything direct about how I feel? Well, Carolyn says, She's not a grief counselor, but where's four? Ask them kindly what the heck happened. Because I loved you both and you were wonderfully there for me when Mom died, and then suddenly you weren't, and I struggled to understand what happened. And I wanted to help you with your grief now. Such a weird ask, by the way. But at some point, I would like to hear the missing part of our story. The lunch would have been the easiest opportunity, but you can still ask either or both of them now. If you just don't want to take this on, then your call, the kind thing, speaks for itself. Two is valid. Three is your right, but is so much like giving them what they gave you that I can't see you're feeling better for it. I'm sorry you lost so much so young. This is Scout Madison. This ends part one, and I'll be back for part two, so tune in. Thanks for listening.